Take your Bibles and turn to the book of John chapter 8.
If you would, the book of John chapter 8, let's stand together. Beginning at verse 58, and we'll read down through chapter 9 and verse 5. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 58, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the light. We thank you, Lord, that this light has shone, and that, Lord, those who receive thee can have eternal life. Thank you for these that are here today. We pray, Lord, that it would be with those of our number who are away on trips or at work, Lord, that you would bring them back safely to us at the next appointed hour. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Chapter 9, verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, I tell you what, when Jesus is passing by, I think it's good to get with him. But he saw a man blind from his birth. Born blind, he was sightless. He would have had no vision. There would have been darkness. I cannot imagine what it would be like to be blind. But this man was blind and had been blind his whole life. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Jesus, as he passed by, saw the blind man, and yet, even though he had left the place where they were trying to stone him, he stops and deals with this man because he had a need. It says in verse 2, "And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You know, we have this idea, if something goes wrong in life, there must be a reason. I'm not going to ask you how many of you were superstitious, but I'm going to say a lot of people are superstitious. You know, there are some people that come to church because they feel if they don't come to church, God is going to bring judgment against them. I'd be more bothered that if I didn't go to church, that Satan would be glad. Would you take your Bibles and quickly turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? I ask you this question: how has political correctness replaced common sense? We reward stupidity. We okay immorality. We rationalize bad behavior. How can so many so-called intelligent people make so many unintelligent choices and decisions? And the answer is simple. They have been blinded by the God of this world. Do you have 2 Corinthians chapter 4? We want to begin reading at verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." And may I say this, for far too long, Christians have been hiding their greatest asset, and that is Jesus Christ. The church should be a lighthouse for Christ. And yet how many in the world today want to put out the light? Or if nothing else, they would have put in a dimmer light bulb. But notice what it says in verse 4, in whom the God, small g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How important it is that we shine for Christ. Of the five senses, which is most desired? Don and I have a pastor friend and wife, Cheryl Berry. And Cheryl Berry had a problem, and I'm not sure what caused it, but Cheryl Berry has absolutely no taste. So if she eats a prime rib or lima beans, they taste the same. Isn't that a revolting thing? Well, not if you're eating lima beans. But she has no taste. And how sad that is. For over a year and a half, I worked in Texas at a rubber company. It was named Acushnet. And working on the presses, I would put the rubber into the press and send it into the furnace or the oven or whatever it was called, and it would bake it, and they would come back out, and I would reach in and I would pull off the rubber. And it was now a product that other people in our factory would cut down and make sure everything was just right. And 75% of our work was done for the Chrysler Corporation. But because of my year and a half of working for Acushnet, I have very little feeling in the fingertips of my hands. And that's a bad thing, because I have a tendency to drop things. And that can be a bad thing, right? But, you know, we want taste. We want feeling. What is that senior ailment that most of us have? I didn't hear you. Yes, losing our hearing. Yes. How about when a skunk has released its defense? Or a baby has soiled their diapers? Or your grandchild vomits? We wish we could not what? Smell. But on the other hand, how about lavender? Roses? Fresh bread. But I think the one sense that we all want is our sight. Let me ask you this. Would you be willing to give up your taste or your sight? Taste. Would you rather give up your hearing or your sight? Your hearing. Would you rather give up your left hand or your sight? We'd give up our left hand, wouldn't we? We want our sight. And yet, how many in our world today are spiritually blind? They have no clue as to what they need to do for Christ. As I've reported, some of the surveys have shown that 70% of Americans are not attending any church at any time. 70%. Is it any wonder that we have people running for political office now that have no concern about your moral thoughts? They have no moral thoughts because they don't think of church. They don't think of Christ. We live in a world that is blinded by humanism. We don't want to offend anybody. But the Word of God is going to offend. The Word of God is going to drive a division between us and those that reject Jesus Christ. And how many of us are blinded to our own shortcomings and sins? or we've gotten to the place that we have put blinders on so that we haven't seen them. We have justified our improper actions. Dr. James Smith comments, "It is worthy of note that it was immediately after Jesus was about to be stoned out of his Father's house that he manifested his power as the light of the world by giving a man sight who had been born blind." Who did sin? Cause and effect. The disciples ask, did this man sin? Is that why he is blind? Well, this man had been blind from when? His birth. Do you think he'd have done a sin before he was even born? Absolutely not. Now, let me tell you a little story. We used to have living in a little white house that was just outside the west side of our building. How many remember that white house that used to be out there? When their screen door opened, it went opened onto our church property. It was that close to our property line. And at one time, there was a family that was living there. Their last name was Brock. The last name was Brock. No, excuse me. I am sorry. Oh, I messed it all up. I hate when I do that. Can I rewind? Can you go back and rewind that? Their last name was Lee. Their last name was Lee. And apparently, according to this young man, he gave his mother such a hard time during her pregnancy that she named him Brock. Wow. I'm sorry. I should have just moved on with my sermon. So the fact is, did his parents sin? Is that why the child was born blind? And if that were the case, wouldn't that be an awful judgment? The fact of the matter is, who sinned? Adam sinned. The book of Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men." Because of the sin of Adam, we live in a world that has illness and disease and death. These are all the result of sin. Jesus said in verse 3, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Let me ask you a question. Was this nameless man the only blind man in Judea? He was not. He was not the only blind man in Judea. In fact, he may not even have been the only blind man that begged at the gate. There have been, may have been others, but this is the one that Jesus is going to heal. Let's read verse 4. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and what? Came seeing. Deliverance. Deliverance. But may I say this, it's one thing to have your sight given back to you. It's another thing to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's another thing to be spiritually healed. "But that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Jesus is using this man as an object lesson. He was hopelessly blind. There was nothing that his parents or his family or his friends or the religious leaders could do to give this man's sight. There's nothing they could do. Our society is walking about as a blind person in an unfamiliar place that have no cane or guide dog or friend to direct them. Our society is bouncing off things, wondering what in the world is wrong. We hear of things like that which happened there in Paris. We hear of other catastrophes that are happening around our world, and we think, what is wrong with people? But they are the blind leading the blind. In fact, Matthew 15:14, Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And may I say this, the ditch is full. The ditch is full. Because we have so many people that are leading in the wrong direction. We have politicians that are leading us into the ditch. We have judges that are leading us into the ditch. We have teachers and professors that are leading into the ditch. We have parents that are leading into the ditch. We have religious leaders who are leading into the ditch. In the book of Jeremiah, we find that there were the religious leaders that are condemned because of they're not leading in the right direction. There were the judges that were not leading in the right direction. There were the political leaders weren't leading in the right direction. May I ask you this question? How are you as a leader? People are watching you. Your family's watching you. Your friends are watching you. What do they know about you? Oh, not that you go to church. But what do they know about your relationship with Jesus Christ? See, lots of people go to church. But how many of them have a close relationship with the God of the universe? With the creator of the universe? With the savior of mankind? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And as I already mentioned, man wants to turn off the light. But we must keep the light shining brightly. Why did Jesus go through this show of making clay and spreading it on the man's eyes? Did Jesus have to do that? Could not Jesus have simply spoken the word sight? And he had received it. Then Jesus not only does the spittle into clay stuff and anoints the eyes. And I think that's an interesting word. Anoints the eyes of the blind man. He then sends him to wash himself in a pool where people are there. Can you imagine as he's walking through town to the pool? Can you hear some kid saying, Mom, why's that guy got mud on his face? Do you think that would have happened? Absolutely. I remember the story of the woman who said that she was at a store and she had been brought up a Baptist her whole life. And she saw this woman in the store with what looked like dirt on her forehead. Now, some of you immediately know where we're going with this. And she took a Kleenex out of her purse and she went over and wiped the dirt off this woman's forehead and said, you had dirt on your forehead. And the woman said, no, it's Ash Wednesday and I've got ashes. And you know, people do things for religious reasons, don't they? My wife and I were out yesterday and there were some people from the country of India walking by and one of the men was dressed in what I would call a skirt. I'm not sure what they would call it. But the woman as she walked by had this red stuff on the middle of her forehead. I don't know why it was there, but it was a religious thing, I'm sure. A lot of people have religion. But do they have Jesus Christ? Well, why did Jesus send this man to the pool to wash himself? Was it to see if he'd be obedient? Would you agree with that? To see if he'd be obedient. And the man said, I will do anything, what? for my sight. I don't care how much I'm embarrassed. I want my sight. You know, there are some people who are embarrassed to come to church. There are some people that would rather sit at home and die and go to hell than to come to church. And isn't that sad? We need to be continuing to be examples of born-again believers. We that have our spiritual sight must be willing to direct others to the light. Notice the confession, verse 8. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." He was willing to say, "Listen, I was blind, but now I can see." We need to be able to say the same thing. I was blind spiritually, but now I can see. I am the one that was blind and I sat begging. He may not have totally understood what had happened, but he knew this. Once he was blind, but now he had sight. Questions and answers. There's nothing wrong with having questions unless you're saying, well, how quickly is he going to get done? Verses 10 through 13. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought him to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind. Were the Pharisees glad for what happened? No. May I say this in closing? When you give your life over to the Lord, it will cause division. I'm not talking if you go to church. I'm not talking if you have some type of religious experience. I'm talking about when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you are willing to be a testimony for Him, you will have division. Because people will say, I don't want to be around them because they bother me. They convict me. They're a pain in my side. Jesus Christ convicted people by his very existence. And if you're going to be a Christian, you are going to create division. Because people don't want to see the light. They're bothered by the light. Multitudes in the valley of decision. And today, there are the same. Multitudes in the valley of decision. And we need to give them a right and proper option. And what is that option? Jesus Christ. Shall we stand together? The man was willing to confess that Jesus was the one that healed him. And in so doing, he brought division. But may I say this, the most important decision you will ever make in your life is knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the second most important decision you'll ever make is to follow him your whole life. As we give our invitation, if you've never accepted the Lord as Savior, we'd love to have someone show you from the Word of God what you must do to know Christ as Savior. If you have known Christ and he is your Savior, is he your Lord? And if you need to come and get things right with him, the altar's here. Or you can sit on the front pew and pray there. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless this time. Lord, we pray that you just would touch hearts. May the Spirit move. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.